saw darkness run for cover, but the miracle that I just can't get over. My name is registered in heaven. Come on. I believe in signs and wonders. I have resurrection power.
Lay down your him he's worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave.
A really unique way to celebrate this morning. We're going to celebrate this morning through life change and fountain baptism. So you guys go ahead and have a seat, and we're going to catch up live to these guys outside.
Well, good morning, church family. We're out here in front of the church in our fountain where we have five believers in Christ now that are following our Lord in believer's baptism. This is Jill Lacey. Jill, because of your public profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and obedience to His command, we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen, amen, amen. And this is Ethan Nieto. Ethan, because of your public profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you now, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is Brian Slate. Brian, because of your public profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in obedience to His command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There we go. Ashley Waits. Ashley, because of your public profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in obedience to His command, I baptize you, now my sister, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And this is Mackenzie Elder. Mackenzie, because of your public profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in obedience to His command, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in the likeness of His death, raised to walk in the newness of life. Amen.
Amen. Let's give God praise for these professors of faith today. Well, good morning, everyone. Isn't God so good? How many know that God loves you, that you are the apple of His eye? Amen. Well, I want to welcome you to Prestonwood. My name is Scott Turner. I serve as associate pastor here. Welcome to those of you that are here with us live and also to those that are joining us online. God bless you, you and your family. We pray, God, that you will have a tremendous worship experience with us today and hear from the Lord. We have our beloved, my brother, Pastor Neil Jeffrey, bringing the word today out of John chapter 6 that God is enough, period. So we'll be praying for Pastor Neil as he brings the message today. When you came in, you should have received your Prestonwood today. If not, and if you're online, you can text GUIDE to 74788, the word GUIDE to 74788. And also, if this is your first time, please visit Guest Central. We have a special gift for you. Well, we're going to pray together, and then we're going to have a presentation for you. And I want to say before we pray, thank you for your faithfulness in giving. Thank you for your faithfulness in sowing into the ministry of Prestonwood as we sow into people both here locally and around the world. So let's pray together, and then we have a special preaching session. Father, I thank you for these your children. Lord, I thank you that you do indeed love us so much that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for us. We thank you for the blood that was shed, the blood that covers us, to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. God, we thank you that we can live for you. We can live with you both now and eternity. Father, I pray for every heart to be open, for ears to be attentive, for eyes to see. As Pastor Neil brings the word this morning, Father, I pray you would anoint his lips. Speak through him to us, Father, that we may know you more, that Jesus, you may be Lord and Savior. Thank you for every man, woman, and child that came today, that's watching today. I pray you would move on their behalf. God, if someone's here that don't know you, Father, I pray that before today is over, the Lord Jesus, you would be the Lord and Savior of their life. God, we honor you, we bless you, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
3 billion. That is the estimated number of people in the world who have yet to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. These people are scattered across hundreds of countries and multiple continents. The number is staggering. The need is great, but the call is greater. Prestonwood Missions is currently reaching 8 different geographical locations in 5 continents, including North Africa, East Asia, South Asia, Russia, Europe, and the Middle East. Closer to home, you'll find Prestonwood Ministry partners in Latin America, South America, the Caribbean, and Canada. While some countries around the globe are healing from the pandemic, many more are left decimated by the lack of resources needed to begin recovery. Third world areas are working desperately to bring relief to their locals as they rebuild their infrastructure. In more familiar territory, Prestonwood Missions is working with the U.S. to provide meals to those who are falling behind in a reviving economy. Within our state, our ministry partners, The Hunger Project, has already provided over 1.25 million meals to those in need. Prestonwood has also been involved in helping to recover those who were most affected by the February winter storms. Within our outreach, there is a place for you. We ask that you join us in prayer as we continue to expand our reach. Pray for those who we send and for those who will be receiving. Pray for our ministry partners who are on the front lines. Secondly, we ask that you give. In 2020, Prestonwood gave a record amount to our partners across our community, our country, and around the world to meet specific needs. Those needs remain at an all-time high. Gifts given to our World Missions offering will continue to minister to people around the globe. In Prestonwood Missions, we're more than travelers. We're more than adventure seekers and sightseers. We are ambassadors, torchbearers, truth tellers. We are witnesses. Witnesses of the one who still works miracles. Our mission is one of reach and relationships, moments and memories, influence and impact. Join us in our mission to reach our city, state, nation, and the ends of the earth.
Would you stand with us as we worship together this morning? From the darkness.
From the darkness, I called your name. Into darkness, your mercy came. You called me out, lifted me up. How great is your love. You bore my weakness, you took my shame. Buried my burdens in fields of grace. You called me out, lifted me up. How great is your love.
From the high.
From the heights of heaven, you step down to earth, innocent perfection, you gave your life for us. We are amazed, and we stand in awe, for we have been changed by the power of the cross. How great, how great, how great is your love. How great, how great, how great is your love. How great, how great, how great is your love for us.
Your kindness.
In your kindness. Your presence, where I belong. Oh, you called me out, lifted me up. How great is your love. From the heights of heaven, you step down to earth. Innocent perfection, you gave your life for us. God like you, a love so true. There has never been, and there will never be, a God like you, a love so true. There has never been, oh, there will never be, a God like you, a love so true.
God, you're so good. Good morning, and I love how that happens. It's dark, and all of a sudden, boom, here I am, and I love that. Hey, thanks for being here today. Neil Jeffries is my name, and I'm so glad that you came. I know some of you saw that I was preaching, and you came anyway. Thanks so much. I'm so grateful. It's good to have somebody to preach to always, and I am John chapter 6 is where we're going to be, John 6. Verses 1 through 15 is the passage we're going to look at, and I always feel obligated to warn everybody that I stutter. I am a stutterer. It doesn't happen all the time, although it could. I mean, I've had moments where it does happen all the time, and when I was a kid, it did happen all the time, and I really couldn't say much of anything as a kid, and I stuttered really well, and I was a good stutterer. I may have been one of the best, but I still stutter. Just know that. I just want you to know it's just easier. Of course, those who've heard me before, you know that. And like I said, you came anyway, which I'm grateful. But if you don't, just know that that's all it is. It's not contagious or anything. It's not going to be a problem. But just when I get stuck, and I will, just wait because something's coming eventually. That's what I want you to know. John 6 is in the first 14 verses is a story of the feeding of the 5,000, which is obviously one of the most known of all the stories in the Bible, one of the most known miracles of Jesus, when Jesus feeds 5,000. The whole story of the little boy of 5,000 people coming, maybe as many as 15,000, 20,000 people were there, and they didn't have enough food, didn't have any food really, just had a little bit. And the boy who had the lunch, and they Jesus takes it and multiplies it and just feeds everybody. I mean, it's a great story. And of course, we've heard that. Any child has heard this in Bible school. I mean, you hear it. I've heard this all my life, and I don't know why I wanted to preach on this, but just kind of where I was led. And so this is what we're going to do, is preach John 6, the feeding of the 5,000. Now, it's fascinating because this is the only miracle of Jesus, of all the ones he did. And there are listed like 38 or 39, something like that, miracles that Jesus did. He did far more than that. In fact, John tells us later in the same gospel that if everything Jesus did, all the things were compiled, there wouldn't be enough room in the whole world for all the books to tell it. But there are just, and in John, it's interesting, and we're going to see this in a minute, that John just always told or wrote about a miracle of Jesus, not just that we would know about the miracle. There's a message in the midst of the miracle. But this, and just so you know, that message is Jesus is enough, is the message that he is the bread of life. But this is the only one mentioned in all four Gospels. And it's here. Why is that? You got to wonder. Well, maybe one reason, and scholars have said this, you know, this is the most public miracle Jesus ever did. Now, most of the miracles he did were just a small private setting, maybe in nature, out on both his disciples, and of course, people weren't there, you couldn't really see it, no way to verify what they did. But this miracle, some believe 25,000 people saw this thing, and they didn't just see the miracle, they were a part of the miracle. They actually ate of what Jesus produced supernaturally in the food. That's pretty awesome. Secondly, maybe, this is obviously a miracle of creation. Jesus is actually calling into existence something which was not there. All they're going to have is five loaves, which is essentially biscuits, and two pieces of fish, a sardines kind of thing. But Jesus is going to take what was not there. Now, that was there, but he's going to somehow multiply, create, do something that just all the end feeds 20-something thousand people, and they get to eat. And they get all they want to eat and more than enough they want. And they're going to have leftovers. Now that is maybe nor the miracle shows more clearly the creative power of Jesus Christ than this. This is the kind, and this is his point in this miracle and the message which is going to follow this. It's the kind of miracle only God can do, right? He creates. Well, that's the point. John is showing in all the miracles, there are seven signs that John records in his gospel. All of these point to the fact that Jesus is deity. He's God. And maybe third is, this miracle really speaks of the person of Jesus Christ and who he is. And who he is, he says that in his message after the miracle in John 6:35. He says, I am the bread of life. And basically, his message is going to be that, hey, Jesus is enough. He's enough to feed, humanly speaking, these who are hungry, these 20,000, 50, whatever it is, this massive crowd, he feeds them. But more, the message is Jesus is enough to meet every human need, to satisfy your heart, your soul, to bless. Jesus is enough. That's the message. So what I was going to do was, I was studying all this. I'm sorry, I got to do that every now and then. I don't know if it's the stuttering, if it's the allergies, or just being an old guy now. I don't know what it is, but anyway, that's just the way it is. But I was looking at this, and I was realizing as I was studying, preparing for this, I was doing it more as just a seminary class would, or professor would. You know what I decided? Hey, I'm going to share this thing, and there are five things I want to share about this thing. Five things I realize I need to know to be reminded of, or things I need to do out of this story. You know what the first one is? It's the obvious message in the story. The message is Jesus is enough. You say enough for what? Everything, anything. Jesus actually is the answer to every question. Jesus is actually the solution to every problem. He's the miracle for every need. He's enough. You know what? He's even more than enough. Jesus Christ is everything. He's the great I am. He's God. And you know what? He's life. He's the creator of everything. He's the Lord of everything. He's the Messiah, Savior of the world. He gives life. He gives new life. He gives eternal life. He gives abundant life. Jesus does what is impossible. Jesus does. Now, with God, the Bible says, nothing's impossible. Of course, with man, everything's impossible, essentially, basically. But with God, all things are possible. You know, I was thinking about that impossible thing. Jesus does the impossible. God does the impossible. You know what? In one sense, now again, I admit, I'm not the smartest guy. I know that. And everybody in the room is smarter than I am. I'm betting. But you know the way I see this thing? You know, in one sense, it's all impossible. How could all this happen? It's impossible. Just think about creation. How do you ultimately explain creation? Now, obviously, there are theories and stuff and scientists far smarter than I say, hey, we know all this stuff. But you know what, baby? They don't know. You cannot explain creation, all of this, which goes so small, it's so minute, and all the atoms and all that stuff. It goes so large, galaxies, universe. I mean, it's unbelievable. How do you explain it? It's impossible. How do you explain human life? You and me. That's a miracle. That, in one sense, is impossible. There's no way. It's just a miracle. Now, obviously, we think we know about life and that stuff. Bottom line, there's a mystery and there is a miraculous supernatural aspect to living. Just the fact that we woke up today is a miracle. And in one sense, it's impossible. How did you can't explain this? Hey, what about the whole Bible? The whole Bible is impossible. I mean, it's just a miracle. How do you explain all that? There's no way. How do you explain creation? How do you explain Adam and Eve? I mean, how do you explain Noah and the ark and all the animals? I mean, there's no way. It's impossible. How do you explain Abraham? He left everything. I mean, there's no way. He's the father of the faithful. Moses and Pharaoh and just that whole story of the plagues and all that stuff. And then the Red Sea. It's impossible. You can't explain all that. How about the Red Sea and it divides and they go, I mean, there's no way. It's impossible. The whole wilderness thing, that's impossible. The promised land. And just the beating all these enemies far bigger than Israel. And yet they did. Jericho and the walls. How do you explain all this? No way. Gideon, 300 against a huge army, and yet they won. David and Goliath, how do you explain that? It's impossible. There's no way. A nation of Israel is a miracle. It's a mystery. It's impossible. A prophet. And then you get to the New Testament. It's impossible. How does God become a man? There's no way. It's impossible. If that's Jesus, God in human flesh, born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, taught like no one has ever taught, because this is God. It's impossible. Just all the miracles. Died on the cross for our sins. Perfect Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, who forgives us, who rose from the dead to give us the victory in life, new life in Christ. Created us for good works to honor him and bless others. And we have Christ in us, which is the hope of glory. That's impossible. 12 men changed the world. The Church of Jesus Christ was started then and still goes. We're one of that. It's a miracle. The whole thing. Jesus one day is coming back. How do you explain all of that? The point is, I can't. It's all impossible. Amen. The point is, Jesus does the impossible.
Amen.
That's who he is. That's what he does. And there are skeptics and scholars who look at this miracle of feeding the 5,000 and think there's no way that can be done. Humanly speaking, I agree with that. But if you consider all the stuff I said and millions of stuff more, if you consider who God is and what he does, what he's always done, what he still does, you realize what a minute little bitty miracle this was for Jesus to do. Hey, the point is, Jesus does the impossible. And you know what? In your heart, in your life, in your need, you know, some of us have needs here this morning. Some of us have experiences here this morning. You know what? We have hurts. We have problems. We're in a trying situation. We can't explain. We don't understand. It's beyond us. We don't know what to do. Here's what I want you to, here's the message of this text is, Jesus Christ is enough. And he's enough in you as the great I am. To whatever you need, he can provide and do by doing a supernatural work in your life, because Jesus Christ is enough. Now, I realize I've never read the passage. That's how you flunk a seminary class on preaching. Sorry, prof, I forgot to even mention what I was talking about. So let me read this. This passage, now you know this story. I mean, in one sense, I don't even have to read, but here's what it says. Verse 1, after this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. It was named later the Sea of Tiberias. It's still the Sea of Galilee. And a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. They were following him not because they loved him or wanted to obey him or wanted to acknowledge him for who he was. All they're following is his because he's healing their sick and he's going to feed them. And later on in this chapter, most of them are going to leave once he does the miracle. But once he starts teaching the meaning of the miracle, that life is found in him and him alone, they're going to start leaving. And then he says this, verse 4. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Maybe just a thought to realize, and hey, in this place, Passover is happening, so all these Jews are on the way to Jerusalem, which may mean that's why they had such a huge crowd. All these people are there. So here's the story. Verse 5, lifting up his eyes, this is Jesus, then, and seeing a large crowd coming toward him. Now Matthew, Mark, and Luke all say different things about this, and they all have a different angle on this thing. But they say he'd been teaching all day, he'd been with them all day. It's after a long day, and it's late in the day. And so he says this. He sees a large crowd coming to him. So Jesus said to Philip. It's also interesting, in all the other Gospels, no one disciple is mentioned. It's just the disciples. He asked the disciples this question, and the disciples have an issue. Here, he specifically asked Philip a question, and then Andrew is going to say something. But he asked Philip, and he says, where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat? That's an impossible situation. Maybe 5,000 men for sure, and maybe 10, 15, 20, however, but it's a huge deal. And so but verse 6 has an interesting image. Jesus said this to test him. He's going to test Philip's faith, for he himself knew what he would do. Jesus knows everything. He knows what he's going to do. All he's doing here is asking some questions and probing and wants to find out what. And the second point is going to be, you know what? He's actually testing Philip and the disciples beyond their faith, which is pretty amazing. And then it says this. Philip answered and said, 200 denarii would not buy enough bread for each of them to get even a little. Money would just provide a little. That's interesting. You remember that. One of his brothers, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a boy here. That's a great phrase. There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But he expressed it. He's being tested beyond his faith as well. And he said, but what are they for so many? It's an impossible situation. So Jesus said, make the people sit down. Everything after this, Jesus is taking control. We'll look at that in just a minute in a hurry, but it's awesome. He says, have the men, people sit down. And there was much grass in the place. For the men sat down, about 5,000 in number, just men. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. Through disciples, he gives to them, they to pass it out to 5,000 people. Mark says they sat down orderly in groups of 50 or 100, which is pretty fascinating. And then Jesus took the loaves, verse 11, when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. The other way, remember there's a little. Jesus' way, there is much. There's more than much, he's going to say. And when they had eaten their fill, he told the disciples, gather up all the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost. And they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. And when the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, this indeed the prophet who is coming to the world. First thing I said is Jesus enough. I've already kind of explained that he's enough. He can do anything. You can everything. You know what? He's going to satisfy this situation. He's going to satisfy every need of hunger that every person there has. The point is, Jesus is enough to satisfy every human being who's ever lived, who's alive now, whoever will live. You just have to turn to Jesus. Believe in him and who he is and trust him as Savior, because Jesus Christ is enough. That's the first thing. He's enough. Where's the second thing? My second point, and this is talking to me. I need to believe that. Now, I believe that, but I need to believe that and to live like Jesus is enough. Just to trust him. Obviously, I can't see everything. I don't understand everything that's going. And the world is crazy, all this stuff. But you know what? The point is, Jesus really is all I need. In one sense, he's all I got. And you know what? Because he's all I got, he's all I need. And the fact is, I'm trusting him. I'm turning to him. Now, these disciples knew that. They know Jesus is who he is. They've already seen some miracles. He turned the water into wine. He healed the nobleman's son who was about to die. And he speaks the word, and the guy is healed. He's done the woman at the well. He had that experience with him. He heals the guy in John 5 at the pool. You remember he walks up to him. The guy hadn't walked his whole life. And he says, rise, and he walks. He heals him. They had seen enough to believe that, you know what? Hey, he can do anything. Possible situation where Jesus can handle it. So Jesus asked them about this thing. And Jesus specifically asked them. He asked them specifically, where are we to buy bread? It's interesting. Philip didn't even answer that question because he's asking where. Hey, where's the place we can stop and get a bunch of food? Now, why did he ask Philip? Well, Philip was from the area. He was from Bethsaida, so he knew the area. He had some knowledge about this thing. But he didn't even answer that question. You know why he didn't answer that question? Maybe because there's no place we can get this much food. And this is the first century. There's no way. It's impossible. This is an impossible situation. And so he got some knowledge in this thing, but he said, you know what we can do? But he said, even if we had enough money, and we don't, but even if we did, almost a year's salary is still not enough. Even if we spent all that money and got all the food we could get, it's still everybody is just going to get a little. Now, what he's doing is he's been tested just a little bit beyond his faith. You know what? God does that. Hey, anybody here in the midst of a test? Hey, tests happen all the time. In fact, life is a test. Andrew is involved. All the disciples are involved in this thing. Andrew says, hey, we got a little boy, got a lunch, and we got some, but what's this little bit in the midst of such a huge need? It's so insufficient. It's so insignificant. There's no way it's going to feed all these people. They both are just trusting more in their knowledge of what we can see and what we can understand, and we see the problem, this is crowd, we see the need, there's no way this fits, and they just admit it can't be done. You know, it's also interesting. I've got to say this. But in Mark 6, Mark, in the same story, the disciples' first answer to this whole problem, this crowd, was, Lord, send them away. Hey, I just want you to know this. That is not the way Jesus does it. Jesus does not send people away. He never did that. He gives himself to anyone and to everyone who will come to him. He always has time for people. You know, that's the message for me as a minister. A minister who does not have time for people does not deserve to be a minister. A Christian who doesn't have time to be is not the kind of Christian God wants him to be. We have time for people because the whole thing is about people. Jesus left heaven and came to earth because of people. And the fact, that's not the way Jesus does the thing. But Philip and Andrew, both of them were saying, this is impossible, we can't do it. And Philip said, hey, this is way beyond our ability, this little bit in the midst of this huge need. He's just confessing there is no way. It's beyond my resources, beyond my strength, my intellect, my understanding, my knowledge, my ability. It's beyond who I am, what I can do. It's beyond all of that. Bottom line, every one of us gets in situations all the time where we have a situation far beyond us. You know what? That is when we need Jesus. Because he can do the impossible. He can meet the need. He can do what needs to be done. And if we turn to Jesus, man's way, as Philip said, is just to buy as much food. But if we did that, everyone gets just a little, not enough. But if we do it Jesus' way, and he's going to do it a supernatural, miraculous way, far beyond what I can even think or imagine. If we do it Jesus' way, everybody gets more than enough. It's about being reminded, I need to just trust in Jesus. Now, you could ask me, if you and I were sitting down, you could ask me this question. And I thought about this. There's a skeptic out there, a person who's thinking, hey, you say this thing about Jesus is all you need. He's everything you need. He meets every need. I guarantee you, you could bring up 15 needs in your life. You need money. You need a place to live. You need this. Boom, 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 all that stuff. How's Jesus going to do that? Well, you know what's fascinating about that? In this story here, everybody's hungry. And obviously, it was no big deal for Jesus to just do what Jesus does and feed everybody. He could do that from now on. Because he's God, he can do whatever he wants to do. But for some reason, and I can't explain this, but God, Jesus has just decided, you know what? You're going to do life. And life is a challenge. Life is hard. Life has issues. But the bottom line, what you need, I can help you find it, experience it, know it, work through it, and in the end, have all that you need through a personal relationship with me. He can do that. He does that. That's what he does. Now, how does it actually happen? How did the miracle happen then? Well, I don't know. Now, I know who did it. Jesus did it. I mean, he did something with what where he was and gave out the meat to all the guys. What was it? I don't know. How did it happen? I don't know. I know what happened, though. Hey, how did I get saved? Well, I can actually tell you what I did. I confessed my sins, asked Jesus Christ, I got on my knees, all that stuff. Well, you could say, well, how did it actually happen? I don't know. I just know it did. I know what Jesus says he does. Who he is, he makes available. Jesus is bigger, is greater. He can do anything and everything in the world, yes, in creation, yes, in the Bible, yes. But here's the point. He can do it in your life, with you, in you. Hey, you need peace. He's got peace. You need purpose. He's got purpose. You need power. He's got power. You need forgiveness. He's got forgiveness. He's got whatever you need. In the midst of knowing him, now you can say, and skeptics say this all the time, hey, this whole Jesus thing, it's a bunch of this, it's a bunch of that. Well, that's what they believe, that's what they say, but you know what? I know that's not true because I've experienced it personally in my own life. And you know what? There's a bunch of people here in this place today who would stand up and give testimony that, yes, God, actually we did this just a moment ago, God is so good. Amen. Why? Because he does what he says he's going to do. And the bottom line is, hey, these disciples needed to be reminded, hey, it's not the circumstances, it's not your knowledge, what you think you know, it's not the money you got, it's not any of this stuff. You know what it is? Hey, the need is impossible, but do you realize who's standing here in the midst of us is Jesus Christ, God Almighty. And he can do whatever. That's why I'm going to Jesus. Hey, I need to be reminded. You know, it's one of the great stories of a guy who just did this and just stepped out by faith and discovered what it's like is Simon Peter. One of my favorite stories in the Bible. When he gets out of the boat and walks on the water, the disciples are in the boat, there's a storm. This is in Matthew 14, and they're on the water, and all of a sudden Jesus comes walking on the water in the midst of the storm. And then for some reason, Peter, who just watched a man do what Jesus do what no one has ever done before, walk on water, says, "Lord, if it's you out there, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus says, "Come." And what's amazing about that is, because you'd expect God to walk on water, right? We can do anything. This is God. Obviously, this is no big deal to water. He created the water. In fact, the Bible says he's got the waters of the earth in the palm of his hand. He's walking on. What you don't expect is a man to walk on water. But God gives the invitation, "Hey, if you'll come to me, you'll discover not what just a man can do. You'll discover what God can do in a man when the man steps out by faith and just trust Jesus." Amen. And you know what happened? He walked on water. Now, obviously, there were skeptics and people, and there's even 11 disciples in the boat who didn't do it. And they can say what, they can debate if it's possible and discuss the whole thing and say there's no way this can't be done. Say whatever you want to say, and people say all those things, but the point is, if you don't by faith get out of the boat, you're never going to walk on water. Just debate about Jesus, who he is, discuss it, and everybody does, and everybody denies him and all that stuff, but you're going to miss what Jesus Christ can do for you. Now, you don't have to understand it all. You have to explain it all. What you have to know is, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. And you realize that Jesus Christ is the Savior. And if you'll confess him, he'll come into your life and give you a brand new life in Jesus. I need to be reminded, you know what? He is enough. And to live my life in such a way that when circumstances happen, I'm trusting in him. That's what Philippians 4:19 reminds us of. My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. My precious mother-in-law is, and I've seen her with her back in January, I think it was, when I preached another time here, but she's about to die. She's been on hospice, off of hospice for a bunch of times. She keeps rebounding. So last 2 years, it's been like that. Well, this week, it's a point. She's back on hospice, and it's the beginning of the end. It's just about over. She doesn't talk anymore. She can't say anything. She can't show her mouth. But my point is, she has always said, she's the finest Christian lady I've ever known. As she's always said, I've heard her say this 10,000 times through these 45 years I've been married to her daughter. She always said this, "Well, we just have to trust in the Lord." I mean, she'd say it a different thing. We'd be in a meeting and some crisis in the family and we're talking, everyone has their opinion. She'll say this, "Papa, we just have to trust the Lord. We just have to trust the Lord. Well, we just have to trust the Lord." You know, now the end of her life, she's about to breathe her last. You know what she's doing? She's trusting in the Lord. Amen. How are you going to get to heaven? How are you going to die and get through all this stuff? How do you do it? Sincerely, I don't know. But you know, I'm not worried about all of that, because I know the one who's going to take me there, Jesus. And when I breathe my last, Jesus is going to be there. The Bible says to be absent from the body, present with the Lord, and I know I'm going. She knows she's going to be with Jesus, because all she's doing is trusting in the Lord. Second, I got about a third, real quick. I got to hurry. A third is, you know what? This is in this story. I need to give what I have to Jesus. That's the message I got in this. I need to give what I have to Jesus. What do you got? It doesn't matter what you got. Just give what you got to Jesus. And this story is just a fascinating story, because. Andrew finds the guy, and he says, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish." Now, what's amazing about this guy? We don't know anything about this little boy. Some say he's 8, maybe 9, 10, just a youngster. But he's poor. He's obviously poor, because this is a poor person's lunch. Barley was the cheapest of all breads. It was held in contempt by most people. It was the bread of the poor. And it's small. It isn't a loaf like you're thinking a loaf. It's just little biscuits and everything. And the fish, in the big fish, is a little sardines. It's more of a little a gel you would use on the bread just to make it moist. He was poor. He's insignificant. We don't know who he was. We don't know his name. There's nothing special about this boy. He's like every other boy on that day in that crowd. Yet this boy did something nobody else did, and his lunch was insignificant. His lunch was insufficient for the crowd, but he gave what he had to Jesus. The boy's lunch was not enough for the situation, for the crowd. It wasn't even enough for the boy. It was just a little snack, but his lunch is insignificant and insufficient. The point of the story is, and listen to this, that which is insignificant, no, that which is insufficient from the hands of the insignificant becomes significant and sufficient in the hands of Jesus. Amen. Did you hear that? Jesus is enough. Therefore, what I give him, whatever it is I give him, is enough. Even if I'm just like the widow who had two little mites. And everybody says, that's nothing. That's insignificant. It's not enough. It's zero. But when she gave that to Jesus, and Jesus says, this is more significant and more sufficient than anybody else who gave anything, because Jesus is enough. What we have, hey, Christian, what you have is enough because Jesus is in you. Hey, who you are, Christian, is enough just as you are. And what we do in Christ's name for Christ is enough. Hey, I've shared this before and you've heard me to say this 1,000 times, but you know, I've always, when I see this story, I've always, still do. I am this little boy. I don't know anybody who struggled his whole life. There may be somebody, but I don't know who it is, who struggled his whole life with being insignificant and insufficient as I am. I've struggled all of my life with stuff. And the fact is, I realized at some point in my life, and it was a process, it took time. I accepted Jesus as a sophomore in high school. I was called a priest, started speaking, started all that stuff. But in the process, I realized, you know what? Maybe this thing I have is not a thorn. It might be a gift that God gave me. Somehow I can't explain it. I don't understand it. To bring honor and glory to him. And the fact is, you just give whatever you have to Jesus and watch what Jesus would do with it. I mean, it's unbelievable. You know what? In the Bible, hey, something insignificant in the Bible is dust. You can't do anything with dust. Can't plant anything. I mean, just a mess. It's a hindrance. But you know what? How the Bible says, Genesis 2:7, then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living creature. Placed in the hands of God. He formed us. Hey, you name whatever it is. This Jesus takes this lunch, blesses it, and does an incredible supernatural work. Hey, Christian, don't make the mistake of thinking that who you are and what you have is insignificant and insufficient and therefore useless. You can compare your gifts to all the other gifts of all the great gifted people in the world, which I've done all my life. You can do that and wish you had that, but you forget to figure on what God wants to do in your life. Hey, they got their stuff, whatever it is. Hey, it's the same idea. Give what you got to Jesus. I didn't get as much of them. I got a little bit. The point is, and what makes great something great in the eyes of God is not the magnitude of what we have. It's in whose hands we place it. That's the bottom line. Doesn't matter how big it is, how small it is. You take what you have and give. What's your gift? Give it to Jesus. What's your talent? Give it to Jesus. What's your struggle? Give it to Jesus and see what he'll do. Fourth thing. I got four and five. I'm over time, really. But here's number four. Something else I need to do. I need to get people to Jesus. Andrew, in this story, brought this little boy to Jesus. What's amazing about that is, of course, Andrew in the Bible is always bringing somebody to Jesus. That's what he did. I mean, he brought his brother Simon, Peter, to Jesus. He got saved as a result of Andrew. Later on, he got a bunch of people he brings to Jesus. But it's what he did. And you know what? In the whole scheme of things, Andrew didn't know it at the time, but bringing someone to Jesus is the answer. It's the answer for this boy. An answer to the whole impossible situation. But he's going to take what this boy had and do the miracle that Jesus is enough. And he is going to do this miracle. And just imagine if Andrew hadn't brought this boy to Jesus. He would have been like every other boy in the crowd. Have heard Jesus and been on the fringe, but nothing. Next day, he'd have been the same little guy, doing the same moral things. But because Andrew somehow found him, brought him to Jesus, it changed his life. He was never the same again. He never forgot this day. Point is, you never know what is going to happen when he brings somebody to Jesus. It's going to change their life. It's going to change who they are. It changes everything. Their future, their hope, that there's a plan now, there's a purpose now, and they now become a part of the story. This little boy, beforehand, he wasn't a player, he wasn't anything, but after looking back, he's the story. He's the tagline of this whole thing, but the only way he gets there is because Andrew brings him to Jesus, and Jesus does this. You know, it makes me think that this, I mean, In this whole crowd, you got Jesus, you got 12 disciples. I mean, the biggest of the biggies. Peter, Andrew, James, John, all those guys. But you know who the one who Jesus uses to do this miracle is? This little boy who wasn't even there before. Because he got there, gave it to Jesus, he did the miracle. You know what that says to me? This one, it says, one, I didn't believe Peter. But you know what it says also? Hey, church. Now, our church has been great. We've got a great history, a great tradition. Miracles have happened here. Supernatural things have taken place. But you know what? Maybe the greatest miracle that God still wants to do in this church and this ministry is through the life of someone who's not even here yet. And God wants to use you to bring that person, whoever he is, that man, woman, boy, or girl, whoever it is, to this place to hear about Jesus or just to tell them about Jesus. Hey, church, that's what we do. That's the Great Commission. Till the whole world hears what it said on that video. It's why we tell the story. It's why we do what we do. Because that person we tell people about you. And then fifth and last, real quick. I need to obey. Just obey. I don't understand everything. I just need to obey Jesus. Essentially, I think that's what these disciples did. At the end, they just obeyed Jesus. Even when there wasn't much reason to obey him, because they didn't have any food as far as they knew. But what did Jesus say? He said, hey, sit down. Have the people sit down, Jesus says. Now, you know, the disciples, I have to be thinking, why are we having, I said, we don't have any food anyway. Why are we going through? I mean, fight that, and they're all sitting down. And they're getting everybody seated down. You know what's awesome about that as well? Hey, any time you have free food, there's almost always confusion. It's almost a riot. It's all that, you know, none of that happens here. None of that happened. You know why? Jesus is in control of this thing. And there's order. You know what else? Maybe the reason why he wants them all to sit? Because he wants them to see, hey, this is a banquet. And they're all looking some direction. They must all be looking to Jesus and the disciples and thinking, what's going to happen? What's going to happen is he takes this food, he breaks it and blesses it, and he passes out. Now again, these disciples were just obeying. I see them, they sat them. Here's a basket. You take that, bring me your basket. And they're thinking, why are we getting their basket? I mean, there's no food to put in there. And all of a sudden, well, they go over there, they get some food. Well, what is it? Well, I take it to the people. They take it. You know, the had to be some doubts. I don't know what, I mean, there's so little, so much. They come back, there's more food. Take it to the people. Come back over and over again. over the course of this, somewhere along the line, now, I don't know this because it's not in the Bible, but it just had to be, it had to happen like this. A disciple or all the disciples start thinking, hey, we got some. And then they come back and, hey, there's more. Hey, there's even more. Eventually, someone said, think, hey, we're going to have enough. Someone's going to say, hey, we're going to have more than enough. We're going to have free refills. They can have as much as they want. And we're going to have leftovers. Now, it started out with doubt. And as they're serving, just obeying, just doing what Jesus told them to do for no other reason. Jesus told them to do it. They're doing it. There's doubt initially. There's questions initially. But eventually, there's amazement in what's happening here. And eventually after that, there's awe of the one who's obviously doing this. And finally, there will be adoration about Jesus, because surely you are the Son of God. Church, that's what we do. What Jesus tells us to do is what we do, whatever it is he tells us to do. And we serve. We just obey, we trust, and we just serve. We just keep on keeping on doing what he's called us to do. It isn't up to us, it's up to him. He's the increase. We just distribute. He faithfully, gloriously give. We just humbly receive and faithfully pass out. You know this. We always measure the importance of things in this world by success, by power, by wealth, by intelligence, by looks. God never measures things in that way. From God's standpoint, the principal players in this world are those who have surrendered whatever they have into the hands of Jesus. Heaven will reveal. That's the significant and the sufficient. Now, we're going to have an invitation. You know what the invitation is for you is? Hey, whatever you need, Jesus has it. You got an impossible situation, Jesus can meet you at your point of need. He can satisfy your heart. A human heart today. I'm talking right this moment. You just trust Jesus. You look to Jesus. And there are some in this room, you just need help. You need a word. You need prayer. You need his peace. You know, if you want to come in just a moment and say yes to Jesus, just turn to him. Yes, it's impossible. All these things, but you just turn to Jesus by faith. Or if you want prayer in just a moment, you just come. And we'll pray with you. And you'll so that you can experience the one who is enough to be enough in your heart. In your life, and he wants to use you. And whatever you have, if you're just placed in the hands of Jesus, you know, there's some in this room who just need to say, you know what, I need to lay my life down before Jesus. I've been ashamed of all this stuff, and I've been just more concerned about what I don't have instead of what I do have, more about who I think I wish I was instead of who I am in Christ. And also, you know what, today, just to make the church, us as a church, significant and sufficient in this world to meet the needs of people. Whatever you need, Jesus has it. You know, there's some watching online. And you can meet, we invite you to meet Jesus as well. And if you're watching today and God has spoken to your heart and in your life, and it's like anyone in this room, you know what you do? If you're online, you can do it in here in this room as well. Just on your phone, just type in Jesus to 74788. Or you can click on the a chat room thing. And if you want to speak to somebody, someone is there to actually talk to you. And if you need to make a commitment to Christ, you don't have to tell us, but you know, we want to help you in this decision. So just type in Jesus to 74788. In this room, we're going to stand up. And you know, we're going to sing. And you know what? I'm praying somebody would just say, I need to do something. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to Jesus. And I'm going to come forward. And again, you don't have to come forward. But you know what? It's a wonderful thing to do that. Just say, I need Jesus. You come accept Jesus right now. You can be that little boy whose life is going to be changed forever. Whatever God says to you, whatever he speaks, you just respond and do what he says. God bless these moments. Bless these people. I pray that your will be done in our hearts and our lives and our church in this moment for your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text the word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.